Secret Science is not the work.
Record this, and maybe I'll release it as DVD extras. Because
hey, Michael, your mic could come up a little bit.
Too. Up a little bit. All right. How is this? Is this too loud, or is this good, or is that the same?
That's pretty good. That matches. I already forgot your name. The female with you.
Okay, Angela. So Jim and Jeremy, talk, please.
That's what do you want me to talk about? I'm not even sure what you want me to talk about.
I've got that's two kind murder of dogs here tonight.
And how many murder dogs?
What just say it. Just
murder dogs?
Two murder dogs. There's like, oh, yeah. Say, don't you touch them. I hate you.
Yeah.
Jim and Jeremy, you both could come down. Jim, more so.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, I could finally come down. Wow.
Come down
mark
off your...
Mark this day on your calendar.
All right. How's this? How's this? How's this? Is it better?
A little bit less.
Yeah.
A little bit less. All right.
Yeah.
How about now?
How about now?
There we go.
That yeah. Nice. All right.
How about now, brown cow? All right.
Talk, you guys.
Yeah. My volume is now back exactly no box where
fans
I had it in the first
box
place before Michael
fired.
Told me to turn it up because he doesn't listen to me.
We're on
the
air.
We're live. Undisputed masterpiece.
I think we're live. All of that.
And
this is the Freedom Feed where we care about audio. So the whole thing is a sound check. This is the Freedom Fiends frying your synapses with substandard audio and box fans. And don't bother learning anyone's names because I'm going to fireball by the end of the night. And I'm Michael Dean. We got Angela Keaton. You there, Angela Keaton?
I'm there.
Yeah. And who else we got? Jim? Jesus?
Jim the box fan Jesus.
Yeah. And Jeremy? Heisen N-word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This song is racist against white people. This is like...
You can't be racist against white people. You know that.
Well, the audio is a
Mick Jagger
crime.
Is. That's going to be the next Fiends button. Your audio is a hate crime. Bad audio is a hate crime. Remember this
bad
song, Angela?
Hate speech.
I don't want to remember it. It's horrible.
This is the song where, like... This is the record where I went, man, I used to like these guys about the Rolling Stones. Yeah, yeah. This is a parody of an actual type of country music called the Bakersfield Sound, which was a reaction to like really slickly produced country music. And Merle Haggard was actually one of the pioneers of it. Him and the guy from God, I don't even remember what that show was called. The one with Hee Haw. Who was the host of Hee Haw? Anyone remember?
Oh, implying gosh. I watched it.
What?
I caught some of it, unfortunately, because my grandfather used to watch all the time, but I don't remember the guy's name. I can picture his face, can't remember the name.
Yeah, well, I was looking up Merle, because I was trying to figure out if Merle Allen, Gigi Allen's brother, was named after Merle Haggard, and the answer is no, because Merle Allen was born before Merle Haggard was famous. But, yeah, Bakersfield Sound was created by Merle Haggard and Buck Owens. Buck Owens and the Buckaroos was his band. You guys fans?
Buckle up, Buckaroos.
Yep.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
All right. So
we're talking about Hee Haw, man. You're really asking me about Hee Haw? I don't think I've ever seen an episode of Hee Haw in my life.
We're going to talk about
not
rapists.
Even ironically.
We're going to talk about child rapists and the great movies they make. So,
again, I said I never watch anything from Hee Haw, so I don't know.
No, that's not the child rapists. Those are the sister lovers, and that's consensual, and they're adults, so it's okay. All right, so... I don't know that anyone at Hee Haw actually loved their sister that way. So this episode of the Freedom Fiends, Rapist, is called, what is it, Angela? It's called, forget it, Angela, it's Chinatown, right, Angela?
Yes, yes it is.
Explain that, please.
Okay, well, this is, you know, some of this started with a lot of long conversations I've had with people like MK and others where we talk about how... Okay, how do you enforce, I mean, what are your lines when you enforce ostracism, and how do you decide in your own life who with whom you're going to deal with, and also then taking that finally to, if you're going to watch and appreciate art, what do you do when you find out the artists are wife beaters or child rapists or perverts of some kind? I love Woody Allen's movies. I'm pretty sure he's a pervert. I mean, I've seen most of his movies. I'm going to guess he's a pervert even before all that
happened. He's a pervert, but he's not as perverted as people. He's not a child rapist, and he's not incestuous, which are two things which were lobbied against him. He basically dated a woman... And then later dated her adult daughter, who was no relation to him. you know, which is perverted, probably, but it's not, you know, a hate crime, I'd say. What do you think, Angela?
I think he's made some great movies, and I'm sure he's kind of a freak.
He's made some of the greatest movies, and he's inspired heavily, like, the current crop of comedians that we all love, that I love, you know, like, oh, Marin and Louis C.K. and that whole, you know, that whole crowd. Bill Burr, all those people are heavily influenced by him. But I think part of it comes down to, well, okay, I'm burying the lead here. So Polanski, Roman Polanski made a little movie called Chinatown, which is an amazing movie. Amazing.
Yes, it is.
Yep. And but he is probably better known in America for his, not for his movies, but for the fact that he drugged and raped a, how old was the girl?
13.
In the 70s. And, you know, also was like taking advantage of his position as a director. Like, you know, her mother brought her over for a screen test and he plopped her in a hot tub and gave her some downers and then raped her while she's passed out, pretty much. He had to flee America for that. Like, he doesn't live in America anymore. For people who don't know, Polanski also is known for, his wife was murdered by Charles Manson and company. Yeah.
Sharon Tate.
Yeah, Sharon Tate. So
I know my cult history.
Yeah. Yep. So what other movies did Polanski make there, Angela?
Oh, I was actually going to leap over to Michael Jackson.
Well,
that's a topical one.
He made Thriller.
Yeah.
He made a lot of good music, and he's probably some kind of pervert.
Yeah. And then there's people like Gigi Allen, who, like, his perversion is part of what makes you like him for his music, if you like his music. Because, you know, I mean, he did songs called Expose Yourself to Kids. You know, you wouldn't expect that he led a virtuous life, I think. Here's what it comes down to for me. Here's the basic thing for me with this, and it's a really simple answer. Whether or not I like an artist's art based, you know, whether it's influenced, whether I boycott them, basically, and I don't even know if that's the word, but whether I, like, can't let myself enjoy their art based on their horrible private lives, I think it has to do with their private art is informed by a sense of morality. Okay, the band Minor Threat. Like, if they were child rapists, I wouldn't listen to them, because all of their songs were about, like, trying to live a good life. And, you know, the later band, some were in Fugazi. Like, they were kind of like the pinnacle, the what you held up to the light for punk rock. Like, yeah, that's how a band should be. So if those guys were child rapists, I wouldn't like them. But they're not, so I like them. Stefan Molyneux, his whole thing, all the art he produced, is about living a moral life. So when he started, you know, like, using government guns against people, when his whole thing was don't use government guns, I had to stop listening to him because it contradicted what he did. Now, the band Flipper from San Francisco, favorite bands to this day, like, Flipper, you know, robbed half my friends for drugs, you know, when they were roommates with people. But I still like Flipper because their music was amoral. It never had a morality to it. What's that, Jim?
I was going to say that on top of the Molyneux thing is that Molyneux says that any ethicist is wrong if they violate their own ethics. So, I mean, like, per his own philosophy.
He made the rules. Yeah.
Yeah. He made the rules and he broke them. Yeah.
Whereas Polanski, I can still like his movies. And some people say you're a monster for liking his movies or for listening to Michael Jackson anymore. But they never really had a morality in what they did, so it doesn't really inform it. What do you think, Angela?
I think you probably shouldn't be doing 13-year-old girls.
I can't hear you.
Especially if they're passed out.
Hello? Oh.
You fell down the well.
Oh, sorry. But no.
You're on radio.
Across the room, yes.
I think you were standing up and gesticulating wildly. You shouldn't have sex with... shouldn't rape little girls. Weren't you?
I do tend to gesticulate wildly when
you went to your window. You were going to your window to yell, "I'm mad as hell and I can't take it anymore," out the window, weren't you?
Well, I live in West Hollywood, so anything could be yelled at a window. Yeah, no one cares.
Yeah.
It'd mean absolutely nothing, though I might get offered some poppers.
Yeah.
It's not just Chinatown. It's applying it to your own life. Like, what do you do when one of your favorite activists is a pervert or a car thief? I mean, like, they're stealing a bunch of stuff, which I'm not crazy about the stealing. Or decides that you find out that they wrote something kind of vaguely racist or maybe told a racist joke. You know, do you ostracize them for that?
H.L. Mencken was amazing and was just a horrible racist. Aside from that, you know, Henry Ford was a horrible anti-Semite, too. But, you know, I drive a car. Yeah.
I have a Ford.
I don't think it's really about boycotting, too, because I think when something gets to a certain level, like boycotting it isn't really going to stop it. Like, cops were boycotting movies by, what's the Pulp Fiction guy?
Quentin Tarantino. Yeah,
because he said something, not even anti-cop, just against cops who kill people, and the cops got upset. Like, that's how horrible cops are. If you say something about, I would prefer if cops didn't kill me and other people, then they boycott your movies.
Yeah, but there's only a million of them, so they're not going
to
be.
But then Black Lives Matter came and went to those movies. It's like that Chick-fil-A thing when everybody was boycotting Chick-fil-A. Then all the conservatives came out, or whatever, and then they came out and supported them. So all the revenue that they would have lost was already doubled and made up for because there was a concerted effort to go and eat there.
And it said studies have shown. I'm just quoting Mark Edge here. Mark Edge said that there are studies that have shown, and I believe this, studies that have shown that when people boycott major companies over some action, they don't really change their underlying philosophy that the people are boycotting. They just change the thing that people can see, and sometimes it actually makes them worse. Doesn't work. So that's kind of weird, because that's like the basis of libertarian theory is, in a free market we would just boycott things. But I think Molyneux was just the proof of failure of that somehow to me. Like, that guy's still popular, man, and he's horrible.
I had forgotten he still existed.
I'm sorry. Did I touch you in harmful places by bringing him up?
I forgot that Roman Polanski had also dated Natasha Kinski when she was 15 to 17 and when he was 43.
But you still think Chinatown's a near-perfect movie.
Really, really good movie. It's a really good movie. But it's just like I'll defend most Woody Allen movies. But, he's a perv.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a perv.
I don't like Rage Against the Machine, even though they're a bunch of commies.
They are a bunch of commies. They're so good. But they're one of those bands like the Red Hot Chili Peppers that I love them, but I hate bands that try to sound like them. Although, that's kind of ironic because Rage Against the Machine kind of tried to sound like Red Hot Chili Peppers, but they're the only band that pulled it off and they turned it into their own thing. So
hip hop.
Yeah.
Made it hip hop.
We'll be back with some more worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
I'll be back.
I'm not attorney spokesperson. The Polanski law firm principal often used to Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice. And the choice
this is nothing. I was way worse yesterday.
Yeah, you were.
I was blaring yesterday.
Zeraldo.
So yeah, Death and the Maiden, The Ninth Gate, The Pianist. My ulcer is burning and on fire.
That doesn't sound pleasant.
I'm saying this like in a comedy way, even though it's about a really sad thing. So it turns out that I'm going to Freedom Fest, and it looks like my ex-husband's also scheduled, and I haven't seen him for 3.5 years, which I was trying to avoid seeing him forever because he scares the living hell out of me.
Wow.
But I'm going to go to Freedom Fest anyway. I thought about this, and I said, I just got to deal with it and just go.
Are you going to come to the Hans Herman Hoppe sobrietal removal service, so to speak?
Is there a service? There was a Fiends reunion on the weekend in New Hampshire. Some of us.
Oh,
I can't remember which fiends though.
Hey, I'm recording this on my end. It may anything you say may end up on the internet. I'm just letting you know.
It's you've gone into Ernie Hancock territory now. If you're going to tape the whole damn thing.
I am. Probably won't use it though. It's just in case the GCN recording fails. But I think we're getting a little echo from Angela here. Let me see. Hang on a sec. Check. Nope, it's not Angela. It's not Angela. Hang on a sec. Oh wait. Check. 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 It's Angela and someone else. Hang on a sec. Check. 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 It's Jim. Check. Check. Jim and Angela both have a tiny bit of leakage.
For your
anal leakage. 488. In their headphones. 4885-1-800-403. Angela, do you know Robert Towne by name? Do you know who he is?
He's the guy who wrote Chinatown.
Yep.
And he wrote, didn't he like co-write The Two Jakes, which was terrible?
Yeah.
My name is Jake. I'm 26 years
old. My name is Jake.
And I just want to thank the makers of the One World Whey protein powder. After having...
I'm really...
In pressure.
Never mind. I won't discuss the unpleasant subject.
You what?
Oh, God. My guts. What, Angela? Sorry, I'm gonna smoke my guts are on fire.
Smoke some weed.
I think that's what's going to happen.
Everyone else is, except me. I'm square.
I don't smoke weed.
You know, you smoke mushrooms. Do you ever smoke mushrooms? You can smoke mushrooms.
That can't work.
It sounds horrible.
If you understand. No, it doesn't work. It's a myth.
Oh, it would destroy the drug before it got in you?
It just doesn't do anything.
So psilocybin needs to be broken down by an enzyme that's in mushrooms. And it has to turn into psilocin for your body to use it. So if you smoke it, you're going to get rid of all of those enzymes.
There's actually a really small amount of psilocin in psilocybin mushrooms, though. Maybe not enough to get you high, though. If you smoke it, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even think if you could smoke it, it would work.
Oh, there's actually a bunch of plants that have DMT, but they have to be taken with like an MAO inhibitor or something. Do you know about that?
MAOI.
Yeah.
I think MAOI.
MAOI is an MAO inhibitor. The I is inhibitor.
Oh, I see. I see what you did there.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
You're like, no, Michael, you're wrong. It's an MAOI inhibitor. All right.
Okay.
So, Angela, should I tell my story about hanging out and drinking wine with Robert Towne?
I want to hear all about it.
Okay. You got to get up on your mic. Where are you? We're on the air. Are we on the air?
Oh, we are on the air?
We're on the air for a while.
I believe so.
It's more humiliation and
degradation.
More things that can never be erased from audio memory.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was hanging out in Deauville, France. I made this movie called Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. You can watch it all on YouTube. It nearly killed me making this movie. That's a whole nother story, but independent filmmaking, it's a hassle. I spent like $20,000 making that movie, worked 3 years full time on it, and ended up making like $23,000 on it. So I made like 10 cents an hour for full time work on this movie. I wasn't trying to make money on it, but it was just, I'm just reporting that's what you make in an independent, and that's a successful independent film. You know, I made 10 cents an hour for 3 years on it, working full time. So it got into the Deauville American Film Festival, which is kind of like the Cannes Film Festival, but for American films in France. It's a big deal. And they flew me there to show it. And really, it wasn't about me. It was about Selby. It was like, okay, someone made a watchable movie about Hubert Selby, you know, with his family's help. Let's put this in the festival. So they put it in the festival. And I flew over there. And it was pretty cool. And it was pretty weird. And it was a very strange experience. And I went from, like, sharing elevators with Pierce Brosnan and being driven around in like, you know, town cars by French drivers in little suits to like the next day I was back in Echo Park, Los Angeles in my crappy studio apartment, like washing my clothes out in the sink because I couldn't afford to do my laundry. It was an interesting time. And God, how do you say this guy's name? I got to check here. Jean-Jacques Anou. Do you know who Jean-Jacques Anou is, Angela?
I don't think so.
He's the director of the movie 7 Years in Tibet with Brad Pitt.
Okay.
So I was having dinner. I was invited to dinner by Robert Towne, and Robert Towne's wife was there, and Robert Towne, the writer of Chinatown. And Robert Towne actually co-wrote or was the script doctor on The Godfather. Like, you know, whoever wrote the script wrote it, and it was unproducible, so they hired him as a script doctor, which is, he was not credited, but he actually did a lot of the rewriting on the first and second the good Godfather movies. So I'm in this really fancy French restaurant in France with like Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer are at the next table, and I'm having dinner with Robert Towne and Jean-Jacques Annaud, the director of 7 Years in Tibet. And it was an amazing dinner. There were a couple other people there, like friends of theirs, but I was like the odd man out. Like, they invited me out, like, oh, this is the guy that made the movie about Selby. We're fans of Selby. Like, basically, it was nothing, it was no reflection on any talent of mine. It was just, I made a movie about Selby, and they were fans of Selby. So they had me out for dinner. But a couple interesting things at that dinner. One was that Jean-Jacques Annaud's wife told me that when she was 15, she was hanging out in a bar in Paris, as 15-year-olds do in Paris, and Hemingway hit on her, Ernest Hemingway. I thought that was pretty awesome. And then they were also talking about Polanski at that dinner. They were all dear friends of Polanski. You know, they had worked with him a lot and knew him. And he was being honored at this festival, but he didn't come to the festival because this was around the time, like, district attorneys in Los Angeles were trying to figure out a way to, like, kidnap him and bring him to L.A., you know, for a 30-year-old crime to try to prosecute him to make a name for themselves. So he didn't come to this festival. But they were talking about him and how they missed him and wished that he was there. So basically, I missed out on having dinner with Polanski because of who's the district attorney in L.A. that prosecuted Manson? I think he was one of the ones going after it.
Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, something like that.
It was some name like that, yeah.
Yeah, Bela Lugosi.
Well, that would be cool if it really was him that does it. But no,
Bugs Lugosi, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a really great book about the JFK assassination.
Yeah, I heard about that. Boston Tea Party is a big fan of that book. It's kind of interesting. So, but the like inside baseball thing I heard was Annaud and Robert Towne were talking about how much Polanski loved France and how the legal actions against him that kept him out of the U.S. and Poland were the best thing that ever happened to him because he'd found his true home by being forced to live in France. And I guess that's, you know, I guess France is the one country in Europe you can live in where they won't extradite you for having raped a child, maybe. I don't know.
Those French.
Those darn frogs.
Yeah. Hey, board up. Hello? Are we still on radio?
Wall to Wall shows by hosts not only understand the market, but tell you how they make money.
Hey, Patrick.
On a variety of patriotic
Patrick,
endeavors.
Turn this down. Patrick.
Hey, yeah,
you're screwing us royally, man. You're ruining us.
I did not have the cue up. I apologize for that.
Yeah, I cut that story off and just talked into nothing there. All right. When it comes back, I'm going to try to just leave. Don't even touch the feed. Just leave it up. We'll deal with it. We'll just talk loudly over it. And
okay.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yep, right. You're welcome.
Yep. Ugh. I don't even know where to go back to that story.
God bless each and every one of you, and God bless America.
Bugliosi. Yeah.
Non-attorney spoke for the content of this ad. This ad is.
Yeah, I don't know exactly where you got cut off.
Don't leave us hanging.
Well, I certainly didn't get the punchline out on radio. The punchline is France is the country that won't extradite you for raping a child.
IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and...
I hope there's no French lawyers out there.
French lawyers? What, are they going to sue us for slandering France?
Yeah, I know.
They know what they did, Angela. Those French.
No, I just assume it's a very permissive culture, I'm assuming. I don't know. I've been to France a couple times, I guess, twice, but I don't really know what the hell happened.
Well, if a 60-year-old lady from France would brag, like ha, 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 about the time she was 15 hanging out at a bar and Hemingway hit on her, I think it's a permissive country.
Damn, darn freak show.
Yeah. Dangerous blood clot device alert. Yeah, these guys were all like 75 or 80 I was hanging out with. Like, yeah. 60 was the trophy bride that they'd been married to for 20 years because, you know, they're cool. 40 years.
There, I fixed the meme. I didn't notice that I had the, was it?
The English wrong?
The English wrong. What did I put it? You can't unorganize your... No.
One of these days you're going to get organized.
Organized.
Speaking of great movies, noir.
Yeah, you can't be the unorganized. Yeah, I changed that, fixed it.
Angela, is movie Taxi Driver considered noir?
I would say so.
Because they always say that Chinatown is like one of the best examples of the noir genre or the archetype. I think more like grittier, like Taxi Driver, don't you? Like Chinatown seems pretty high budget and like
glossy. Like, oh, but it's pretty gritty. It's dark.
Yeah, but it's stunningly beautiful. Like Taxi Driver's not stunningly beautiful. You know, I don't even know what noir means. I don't think
it means dark.
Well, because I think of noir as like black and white, low budget films from the 50s, not like stunning high budget color films from the 70s, like Chinatown.
There's no wrong movies in the 70s. There's so many good 70s movies.
Yeah,
Five Easy Pieces, Deliverance.
There's a lot more rape, like quality rape, in 70s movies, like Deliverance.
It's true. It was much. You know, it was a different time, and it was a time before we got serious about this consent thing.
Man,
it was a rapier time.
It was a rapier time. 70s was a rapey decade, man. It's not that your business at risk. You can. I mean, it was also the decade of lewds, which kind of like, I think quaaludes kind of like, quaaludes and consent can't really exist in the same paragraph, I think.
But I'm glad consent is, you know, now is part of the culture, but I do think I'm sad because I missed quaaludes.
Yeah.
I wish that's
one of the lines in the Jerry Stahl written episode of Marin where Marin starts relapsing in the end of season 3 when he's taking oxycodone and he's like, man, these didn't even exist when I got sober. And he's crushing them up because they're time release. All right, here we go. Don't worry, Jim. You'll get a lot of time to meow in this episode. You too, Jeremy. Hey, what kind of sound do weasels make, Jeremy? Ferrets.
It's more of a chattering sound. I can't even mimic it.
So we're talking about child rape when we went to the... we got cut off because we didn't hear the... nobody sent us the feed. Talk radio is pretty simple, but, you know, it involves paying attention from everybody, so... I blame the switch. Someone was asleep at the switch. I'll take the Jeremy switch. I'll take a switch to Jeremy. All right. Yeah, well. So it wasn't Jeremy's fault though. It was a machine. Well, let's blame it on the machines. So, I didn't get
to, oh, sure. This time we'll blame it on the machines.
I didn't get the punchline out in that story, but in that true story, I was talking about how, I was having dinner with Robert Towne one time. And Jean-Jacques Arnault's wife was telling me about the time Hemingway hit on her in Paris when she was 14 in a bar. 14 or 15? I think it's 14. And Robert Towne and Jean-Jacques Arnault were talking about how much Polanski loved France and how it had become his home. He's from Poland.
Is
and
that
he
her
lived,
name?
Lived in America.
Oh, sorry.
But he said that Jean-Jacques Arnault and Robert Towne, especially Robert Towne, I think it was, who said, and Jean-Jacques agreed that it's the best thing that ever happened to Polanski that the police in America were trying to arrest him for a 30-year-old child or for child rape because it forced him to live in exile in France. And it was the best thing that ever happened to him because it had become his true home and the French truly appreciated him. And to which I said, I thought at the time, I didn't dare say out loud to these guys, I was, you know, a guest, but I said, I guess France is the only country in Europe that won't extradite you for having raped a child, let you be extradited for raping a child. You know, and speaking of people being banned from places, and Brad Pitt can't ever go to China because they made a movie about Tibet. And did you see, Angela, that Lady Gaga can't go there now either to China because she played Tibet.
My God, what will the Chinese do without Poker Face?
Yeah. There's a horrible band called Poker Face. Have you ever seen them? They're like flat earther libertarian patriots or something.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Ugh. Yeah. I've been to all the dark corners of the movement and back.
You have. That's why
I've been all over.
That's why I like talking about things that have nothing to do with libertarianism, like Robert Towne. And honestly, I don't know if you're impressed that I hung out with Robert Towne, but you were interested to hear the story, at least, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, very.
I don't know another fiend co-host or fan who'd even know who Robert Towne is. You know, if I tell a story about, like, you know, hanging out with a guy from Nirvana, everyone wants to hear it. If you tell a story about, you know, the time you blew Ron Paul, everyone wants to hear it. But, you know, you talk about... Oh, wait a minute, did I touch a nerve there, Angela? Yet. Did I touch a nerve? that was uncalled for, man. Yeah.
I want to hear about the time you hung out with Homer Flynn. That's what I
Who's
want
that?
To hear.
Who? I don't know who that is.
He's the, I guess, the manager and allegedly the singer of The Residents. Allegedly.
Oh, I do know that there's a woman in The Residents. That's the insider baseball I have about them because I know someone that did sound check for... you know, ran the sound in a club they played in. Well, not a club. It was Constitution Hall in D.C. But, yeah, one of those four eyeballs has a lady under it. Yeah. So, you know, speaking of Hemingway, Steve Miller was calling me a queen for how outraged I got about audio. He said I'm 1/64th gay, and you can tell because I was so queenie, and my anal thermometer is filled with Freddie Mercury. And somebody else said that, but that's pretty funny. But you know, he said something about like I was as queenie about it as like a young gay guy whose sugar daddy's credit card gets declined at, and it was some like spinoff of Abercrombie and Fitch. What is it? I don't know. I don't even know the name of it. But I had to look it up, and I was like, Abercrombie & Fitch is really foofy now, man. That used to be like a man's, like outdoorsman's outfitter kind of place. Here's a fact that's interesting and weird. This shotgun that Hemingway killed himself with, he bought at Abercrombie & Fitch in Manhattan for $6,000, which was...
I think they've been hanging out in Manhattan too long, probably.
Yeah, yeah. But that's you know, the $6,000 back then, that's like a $50,000 shotgun or something. Whereas the shotgun that Kurt Cobain killed himself with was $80 in a pawn shop, and he had his friend go get it because he didn't want to be seen buying it. But they both did the trick, so, you know, you don't need to spend $50,000 on that shotgun. And the shotgun that Hemingway killed himself with was a double-barreled 10-gauge shotgun, which is bigger gauge than a 12-gauge. Double barrel, did both barrels, took his head off. Kurt Cobain used a single-barrel 20-gauge shotgun, which he might have been conscious for a second or two after that, but I don't think Hemingway was.
Did you know that he had blue eyes, Kurt Cobain? He blew one eye this way and then one eye that way.
You know what was the last thing that went through Kurt Cobain's head? His teeth.
Buckshot. No.
All right.
Too soon.
Yeah. So I guess we were talking about artists and when to stop liking them. And, you know, I mean, do you stop driving a car because Ford was an anti-Semite? You know, here's a funny thing, too, about cultural appropriation is a big issue these days. People complain about it. You know, like there's some actress who I thought was American Indian. She's kind of brownie, ready looking, and she got in trouble for having a dream catcher in her hair. Angela knows who this is, don't you?
You mean Vanessa Hudgens?
Yeah, she's brownie ready. What's her ethnic derivation?
She's probably, I think, maybe Filipina and a few other different ethnic groups. She's very, very lovely.
Well, here's what I say. If people use indoor plumbing, they're culturally appropriating the British because it was invented by the British, and so was the toilet. But I just don't get the cultural appropriation thing. And Angela, you know that I'm 164th black.
African-American, now. Yes. No, I mean...
Not it. I'm 164th African.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and who's that?
Sub-Saharan?
Yeah, Sub-Saharan, probably around the region of Ghana. So, you know, people in Africa always call people cousin and uncle and grandfather and grandmother. It's a sign of respect and a sign of, like, we're all connected. Like, when I talked to my friend Kofi, who runs Africa Youth Peace Call, a good organization in Ghana, Africa, that teaches liberty, he calls me uncle all the time. But I'm probably actually related to him in some way. That's kind of cool.
I thought Michael was going to start breaking out in We Are the World, but go ahead.
Hey, man, it takes a village to tell my stories.
To destroy talk radio.
Yeah. So you gonna So Angela, you gonna vote for Hillary because she's a woman?
Am I going to stick a poker in my body
and
to...
in me for asking?
Yes, yes. You know, I don't do the voting thing.
Oh, good. And I won't. Good. Good.
I won't be making a strong stance for Mrs. Clinton. I realize she's the underdog. I mean, only being financed by Wall Street, and only being a former wife of a other emperor. So I don't know. I mean, she's got a lot of a lot of things going against her. I mean, being a lawyer from Yale who's been in public life for 45 years.
Do you know she was a Goldwater?
Difficult for her.
Do you know she was a Goldwater fan her first year in college?
Oh yes, she was a Goldwater girl.
Yep, that shows you how public how higher education just ruins people. I mean, not that Goldwater was, you know, really cool. He wanted to bomb Vietnam back to the Stone Age to end the war. But, you know, he had some libertarian economic ideas. And he also, unlike most Republicans, didn't think that gays should be jailed. He just thought they were sick, you know.
And his speechwriter was an ANCAP.
He didn't have those ideas. He had Carl Hessen.
I know. The gay thing was, I mean, that's progressive for a Republican in the 60s, thinking that this is what, it's exactly what my dad told me one time when I was a kid. And he thought he was being progressive by saying, I don't think homosexuals should be jailed. I just think they're sick and need help. That's progressive. Yeah,
that's progress. All right. The regressive left. That's them. same as it's ever been.
Neo-carnies.
Headed backwards.
Yeah. So, Angela, tell me where America went wrong.
You can't really build a foundation. I was going to say 1492, but you got to keep your audience in mind. You can't build a foundation on something as shaky as colonialism and chattel slavery, and you certainly can't put a veneer of...
Yeah, why did America get so upset about child rape when it was built on child rape?
Well, yeah, let's look at everyone's favorite Thomas Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
How old was Sanny Hemings, Ms. Hemings?
She was in her teens.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, everything I needed to know about that situation came from Billy the Mime's interpretation of Night of the Monticello.
I don't know what that is.
You want this mime again?
Billy the Mime is one of the greatest entertainers of all time. How dare you?
Don't make me put you in the box van for a timeout, Jim.
don't insult Box Fan, the film.
Well, you know, Box Fan, the film.
Than Oscillating Fan.
Box Fan, the film, is just a ripoff of the Andy Warhol film Sleep. And the one Empire State. Do you know those two films?
Isn't it just the Empire State Building?
Yeah, it's the Empire State Building for like 16 hours, and Sleep is a man sleeping for 10 hours. Yeah. Angela, didn't you shoot Andy Warhol?
Really impressive.
I did, and you know, that's the song.
I shot.
What is
Andy
the name
Warhol?
Of it on Songs for Drella?
Oh, yeah.
The one where Lou Reed is ranting about Valerie Solanas, yes. I got so confused. Andy Warhol was the great grandfather of cable access television.
For 15 minutes.
By the way, Metal Machine Music, I don't know.
Well, that's
know
all
what
it
happens.
Takes. Just plant the seed. And
speaking of Lou
every
Reed.
Fiend co-host will be famous for 15 episodes until I fire them for something.
Yeah.
Everything goes back to Carl Hess.
It really does. Isn't that an MK Lordsism? I think she coined that phrase.
Oh, my God.
That's
great.
Maybe she got it from you, but I've heard her say that, I think. Yeah. Well, Scott Horton said everything is somebody's fault, not LB. Not,
everything is Woodrow Wilson's fault.
Yeah. And I think there's a takeoff on that, which is everything good goes back to Carl Hess. Carl Hess was the anarchist speechwriter for Barry Goldwater, who he's the reason Republicans now act like they're anti-government when they just love to lick it all over.
That's it. The licking part was the part that I hadn't expected. But Carl Hess did many, many things. He was a tax protester. He was probably the father of the current wave of left libertarianism.
He wrote a lot of Goldwater's speeches while high on hash. He used to make hash and beef sandwiches. Did you know that?
I did not
know like whatever, like ham and cheese, like whatever sandwich he was making, he would sprinkle crushed up hash into it because he didn't have time to like sneak out and smoke a bowl while he was writing for on the road. Not the book On the Road, but he was writing On the Road for Goldwater.
I think more libertarian writing needs a sprinkle of hash.
Ah, there you go.
So this MP3 that you made me listen to, the MP3 that you made me listen to,
the bad audio,
was that the Metal Machine Music version of The Fiends? Is that their Metal Machine Music album?
Yes, it was a contractual obligation that Jeremy made, and the label turned it down and said, give me something better.
And
I'm the label.
Metal Machine Music.
Oh, well, in this scenario, the label forgot to read the actual terms of the contract, so I don't care.
I'm going
to
fire you right now. I'll be back. Talk amongst yourselves about what do you guys want to. Angela, what do you want to go to next?
Oh, Michael, I want to go. You sent an email, and I didn't read the whole thing, by the way.
Talking about what just hit my head.
Good.
I didn't have time.
Yeah, are you talking about the notes I sent you?
No, there was like a long email you sent me today, and it was long. And I was like, yeah, I get the idea. Whatever.
Oh, it's you don't really need to read it because I said it all last night. It's for the fiends that didn't hear it. It's just me threatening everybody to do my bidding or else. You already got that memo. I'll be back.
No, that memo has long been internalized.
Tattooed you know. On your soul. One had an IBC filter placed
to prevent blood clots from travel. Call off the old bluff, replace it with a new one, threaten, yada yada. Rinse, lather, repeat.
Jesus Institute's the best anime. Did you see that video, the anime version of the Ludwig von Mises Institute?
No,
I get it. There's one. Oh my god.
They took a bunch of clips of all the Austrian economists being like wacky, like so you see like Jeffrey Tucker swinging on the swing and in the boat, and Bob Murphy karaokeing and like punching in a mirror and acting like a wrestler, and Hans Hermann Hoppe cooking, and it's all to like this J-pop, and you see like all the credits rolling.
Oh, somebody sent me that link. That's ridiculous. I mean, all the Austrian economists are ridiculous, but that sounds like it's really taking it up a bit. Yeah, that sounds great.
It's on the page Neo-PG Nihilism. And you know it's the right page because you'll see Lou Rockwell as a Pikachu.
Wait, so Neo... I got to look this up. Neo...
PG Nihilism.
PG...
And you'll see the avatar for the page is Lou Rockwell as Pikachu, and it's the very top post, the only anime you need to watch.
Nebulizing drugs. What's the topic when we come back? We need one when we come back.
Did Did you see Best Anime on NeoPG Nihilism?
No. Hey, Angela, what do you want to talk about when we get back?
My burning esophagus. I don't know if we can clear it out. I don't remember the last topic.
I'll talk about that. Out, I know a lot about that. I've been dealing with that. That's what I'm doing right now.
All right.
Is there a way I can crash Freedom Fest? Like, can we sneak in without a pass? Is that even possible?
It is possible. It'd just be best in my professional capacity not to say that it's possible. Don't but say it's that possible.
You know. Don't say you know Angela once you do it.
Yeah.
Is that the GOP thing? Oh, here we go.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow.
Man, that was a great anime.
Man. Jim did a striptease. Angela danced to it. Jeremy brought out his weasels. That was an amazing break, guys. I'm glad we have the video. No one else has the audience only has the audio, but the video really makes this fun.
I think we titled it, what, Nightmare Fuel?
Yeah, yeah. That should be a brand of medical marijuana for dealing with, like, mental health issues. Nightmare Fuel. What brand are you smoking, Angela, for your many ailments?
I think that's the Freedom Fest theme this year.
Nightmare Fuel?
Nightmare Fuel and Night Terrors.
Nice. What is Freedom Fest? Is that the GOP thing that you speak at as the token libertarian girl?
Token one is adorable.
Token libertarian and token girl. Or woman.
The Freedom Fest is token, run by the Skousen family. They're a Mormon libertarian family, and Mark Skousen's a libertarian economist, and his wife Joanne.
I don't know what that is.
Writes movie reviews, and yes, they're a well known libertarian family, and they put on an event every year for the past decade and a half in Las Vegas, where it brings together all the great minds of the libertarian movement and has them entertain for right wingers.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm a dancing anarchist monkey at a circus side show.
Which, by the way, if you're going, we're going to have the Hans Herman Hoppe there this year, of course.
I would say, how do you sleep at night? But I know that you'd answer on a pile of money with many beautiful women, Michael. That's from The Simpsons, but except the Michael part. It's supposed to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. So, Angela, tell me about your GERD. You know what GERD is?
My GERD, yeah. It's my burning esophagus. It's my burning esophagus. Yeah, I think
for liberty.
I think my ulcer from law school is back after all these years.
When are you going to go past the bar? And I don't mean the one you pass and stop in on the way home every night.
No, it's at some point I should probably take the bar exam. I figure there's enough libertarians in jail at any given moment, I'd have a lot of business.
You know, I'll tell you something that you may not even know that might blow your mind, you who has a law degree but is not a lawyer. You have a law degree, right, Angela?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
You're doing bong hits. Did you know that in California you can practice law without passing the bar?
I probably am practicing law without passing the bar. I'm probably committing acts of barristry right now in my living room.
Everyone's got a side hustle, which is different than side boob, but a side hustle. Like, Jim Jesus has a new side hustle. It's called Jim Jesus's Bad Audio Arbitration Service, and he only takes Dogecoin. He'll settle any argument about bad audio.
Oh, I stopped taking Dogecoin after the guy who made it came out to be like a social justice warrior.
See, that's like, another example of what we were talking about earlier. You don't want to support that.
Besides, the Doge meme is kind of dead anyway. So,
Catcoin really needs to take off. I think the Fiends should do Wormcoin now.
Yeah, because Doge wasn't old enough, we need to go back to lolcats, right?
Iken has cheeseburger coin. Yeah. Okay, so tell me about your tummy. What's wrong with your tummy, Angela?
It's on fire, and I don't know. It's because of the poor choices I made this weekend in New Hampshire. Life. Yeah, well, there's been many of those. Or if it's just returning from New Hampshire and realizing that our libertarian brigadoon's over, and it's now back to reality. And people try to destroy my buzz. They kind of killed my buzz by talking to me about Gary Johnson and Bill Weld, and I didn't want to hear it. So I got past that. So, yeah, no, I just have an aching case of
just
heartburn.
Just bake the damn cake, okay?
So I got a couple books for you to read if you are getting to that age where you're getting GERD like I did, which really is like what drove a lot of my lung problems. I have other problems too. Like I smoked for 30 years, but even after I stopped for 4 years, I was sick. And I was really sick for a year and a half, and now I'm getting better. But part of it is dealing with my GERD. Two books I'd recommend. One is called The Chronic Cough Enigma, and another is by the same doctor who wrote that, but also in conjunction with a chef. It's called Dropping Acid, and it's about it's the worst title ever, most misleading title ever. Dropping Acid is about cooking food that doesn't produce as much stomach acid, which also gets into your throat and your lungs and burns them. So, yeah.
Okay, so you really wanted to discuss this so we can get back to discussing a colonoscopy?
I had mine. Have you had yours, Angela?
Bingo.
No, I have.
They're not just for men.
There's, you know, there's you know, I'm a lady.
No, ladies need them too. No.
I was like one cane away from getting
one cane.
All right. In the second hour, we're going to read I Hate Your Politics by John Scalzi. It's funny. We read it every 3 years on the Freedom Fiends. And comment.
I don't want to know about any more anuses.
There's no anuses in this. Except
this show
Republicans and Democrats.
Donations from fiends like right. You. We put that
I
want to
do the intro.
Show.
Hey, Patrick, board up. You there? Oh, wait. I have him turned down. Is he talking to me, Patrick?
Yes.
Hey.
Yes, yep, he's there.
Hey, Patrick. Someone just wrote me and said that we were totally drowned out by the music, so I'm going to revise my, just leave it alone and just say, just do it like you're supposed to, please, but don't forget. How's that?
That works. All right. I'll just make sure to turn the cue up.
Yep. Ride it so people can hear us and... You know how to do it. Just don't be smoking crack and checking your Angry Cats games on your cell phone.
You got it.
Yeah, whatever you kids are doing these days. All right, so you guys got this this thing up
between October 2008
your politics
and April 2012 stories from townhall.com.
You don't sound excited.
I'm Patrick Foss.
Are you?
I'm thrilled.
Attorney spokesperson Bart is responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertising.
Hey, Jeremy.
What? Yeah.
Attention.
I was just reading it over.
I'm going to save you some trouble and edit tonight.
Blood clots from traveling to their heart or lungs.
Why is that?
Because because your audio sucks. No, because internal bleeding and even because this the recording that I'm making on my end is pretty good quality and. It's funny as hell because it's got all the between stuff.
Okay.
When did Carla Garrick step down from the Free State Project? Was
last
it before
year?
Or after they? Was it before they axed Ian or
yeah,
after?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Before?
Yeah.
Oh, so she didn't do it?
She didn't do it. No. Oh. You know who did it? Was the husband of the woman that got us the free tickets. I don't know his name. 800-870-7899. That's 800-870-7899. She seemed nice. I don't know. I don't know who's on the board. Is Angela there? We still got Angela?
Yes. Yes. Where the hell would I go?
I don't know. Do you have this thing up? I hate your politics no matter what.
Wait, we got to do the intro.
Oh.
We got to do the intro.
Go ahead, Box Fan.
This is the Bach Fan for sleep, deep sleep, and relaxation, a.k.a. the Freedom Fiends. The third and final installment of the trilogy is a real breath of fresh air. By far, my favorite of the trilogy. This one of the most beloved films ever, an undisputed masterpiece and Hollywood's quintessential statement on Bach fans. The Freedom Fiends, a.k.a. Box Fans for sleep and deep relaxation, is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. It allows use and reuse by anyone except governments, oscillating fans, and ceiling fans.
Yeah, I can't tell if the reviews of the Box Fan movie are real or comedy or trolling or The Emperor's New Clothes. Like people who are like
really, you can practically feel the wind blowing on you. The only thing better would be an actual fan in the same room with you. I don't know how they do
it. Yeah, that's just people wanting to sound cool because everyone else is. You know,
it's kind of
like
this movie.
It's
kind of
like when people say Nickelback sucks. Like, oh, you're so bad. You like Nickelback. Have you ever heard Nickelback? They're not
yeah.
a hate crime.
Yeah, they
they're
are.
Just not very yeah, good.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're going to be an apologist for Nickelback?
Nope.
This
nope.
is really hit bottom.
I'm not really being an apologist for Nickelback. I'm being scathing on everyone who says Nickelback sucks because everyone else says it. There are much worse bands than Nickelback, is what I'm saying. If you're going to be
but
saying,
they still suck. That's, yeah, that's, but that doesn't change the fact
it's
that
so
they
cool
still
to
suck.
Hate them. It's so me reason, too. It's so me too. The reason why to
everyone,
hate them.
But the reason why everyone hates them is because they're the epitome. They're epitome of they're the epitome of like everything that was wrong with rock music at the time, like Creed and all those other kind of
well yeah it was a bunch of bands that sounded a little bit yeah. like Nirvana, but you know who they really sounded like? That kind of, like the music sounded like Nirvana, but that kind of singing sounded like a cross between Leslie West from Mountain. Do you know who they are, Angela? Mississippi Queen. It's an old yes. song, look it up. Angela, get away from the window.
Angela's
step
left
away
again.
From the window. Angela's left the room. All right, so but the
some
other one is
bong hits out
who was the guitar player that played acoustic old-timey guitar and wore a white suit and kind of sang like this? Do you know who that is?
I think it was Stained, wasn't it?
Angela?
Wasn't
that no, I'm talking about someone from the 70s.
Oh.
Angela, who was that?
I don't know, Gramps. We're kind of hitting the
I don't know
what that is. Yeah. All right. All right.
It's the inverse of that.
Yeah. Okay, this episode isn't going to sound as good as previous episodes.
As a box fan.
But, and, you know, I could be taken to task for that because I've spent the whole week yelling at people about their audio. But it's going
to... You darn well will be taken to task for it. I mean, what?
Yeah, but it's not... it's listenable. That's really all I'm... But it's also going to have all the in-between... The banter during the ads. And you know what? People are going to love it. Fiend fans love it. We haven't done that in like a year, and people love it. And you know, all I'm really looking for, audio doesn't have to be perfect. All I'm looking for is stuff to be listenable without distracting from what the content is. You know, I want to understand the words, have the personality come through, and not be constantly like aware of the audio. And people who aren't up on what bad and good audio is, they still know. They still turn it off way sooner if it doesn't sound good listenable. You know? Right, Jim?
It's not a hate crime. It's just not audibly correct.
Correct.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I forgot to plug in my compressor on you guys and me before the show started, but I'll do that the next time I record on my end.
You're getting Rick Rubin on us is what you were saying.
Well, right? I'm saying like we actually sound pretty good, except like everything. When Angela comes, you know, when she's not 12 feet away and I'm riding the volume to try to keep her at a steady volume, and she actually gets, you know, so she is close enough to the mic to see it, you know, in the same room with it. And then she gets really excited. It's kind of like at Porkfest on the episodes where...
Is this good audio? I can't tell. Is this good audio? Am I doing it right?
Where Diana would laugh really hard and it would distort.
I'm sorry.
It's kind of like that. Hi, I didn't see you there. I'm Jim Jesus. Tell us, Jim.
Oh, hi, I didn't see you come in.
All right, so...
alongside
Night, the audio book.
Oh, no. Not again.
Is there one? I'll bet it would sound
But Jeff Riggenbach
weird.
Needs to read it.
I like Jeff Riggenbach. You know, I will say this, though, too. Like, in addition
now,
to good audio.
The audio book represents.
He has good audio. His audio, his recordings are well done. But
Jay Shulman.
You know, I tried to get him on The Fiends. I wanted to have him do a show on The Fiends. Because, you know, I'm trying to get all the old. He's not old. He's not going to die this year. But, like. You know, I try to interview people while they're still around. He's old guard, and the youngster should know who he is. I tried to get, and he has a mic, he has a computer, he has a sound conditioned room. I tried to get him to do a Fiends. It never happened. I mean, he made me try to jump through, so like, yeah, we'll ask me again in 3 weeks. Like, I'd mark it on my calendar. I'd ask him again. He'd be like, well, he'd, you know, answer the email 5 days later, 7 days later. Like, you know, these kids today, if they can get their audio good, I like dealing with the kids today because they answer emails, they answer texts, they do stuff now instead of doing it later. The old guard, you know, you got to go through their manager. It's kind of a hassle. I didn't have to go through his manager, but I just don't like having to, like, you know, he's important to me, but he's not that important to me. So I just gave up on it after about 6 months of trying.
That's funny because he was dying for me to for him to host a screening so that we can have a debate about whether or not his movie was good or not.
No, I'm not talking about Shulman. So he can out me as a fed. No, not Shulman.
Oh,
I'm talking about Jeff Riggenbach.
Yeah, wow, wow. You confused those two human beings.
Jeff Riggenbach is good. He's a good human being. He's a nice guy. Yeah. Right, Angela? You know him, Angela, in person, right?
He's the voice. He's the voice of the Randolph Bourne Institute, which... runs
AntiWar.com. There should be classical music playing behind him. That's the kind of voice he has. Yeah, yeah. No, Shulman, I never asked him to be on The Fiends. And he doesn't know who I am, except he thinks I'm Jim Jesus sometimes when I'm criticizing him.
I don't know how many times I had to remind him. Wrong guy.
Yeah. There's more than one person who doesn't love everything you do and tell you to your face. Yeah.
I think he just imagined it was me just talking to myself as a podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was split personality. Like, I know he does voices, but come on.
Yeah. All right. So I would like to take turns reading a paragraph each and go around the room of this thing written in 2002 called I Hate Your Politics by John Scalzi. And we have to clean it up a little bit on the fly. There's a couple cuss words in here. But so let's go like me, Angela, Jeremy, Jim in a circle and read paragraphs of this. And if you have comments, go ahead and make them. And if you think it's funny, laugh. If you don't, don't. All right. So I hate your politics. No, I don't know what they are. And no, I don't really know who you are either. Really, those two points are immaterial. No offense. As it turns out, about 46% of you are liberal, 46% of you are conservative, and the rest of you just want your guns, drugs, and brothels. Here in the U.S., we call them folks libertarians.
Angela? Liberts. That's Liberts. Our word.
Yes. Angela?
Okay. Each of you carries baggage from your political affiliation. And all of that baggage has a punky smell to it, like one of your larger species of rodent crawled in and expired in your folded underwear. Listening to any of you yammer on about the geopolitical situation is enough to make one want to melt down one's dental fillings with a beeswax candle and then jam an ice pick into the freshly exposed nerve just to have something else to think about. It's not so much that politics brings out the worst in people, than it is that the worst in people go looking for something to do, and that usually ends up being politics. It's either that or setting fire in trash cans.
Jeremy. Jeremy, you get two paragraphs because this first one's really short. That's how
not
it
a
works
paragraph, that's a sentence.
Right.
In the spirit of fairness and of completeness, let me go down the list and tell you what I hate about each of the major branch of political thinking. Liberals. The stupidest and weakest members of the political triumvirate. Yeah, I got that. Thank you. They allowed conservatives to turn their name into a slur against them,
liberals,
exposing them as the political equivalent of the kid who lets the school bully pummel him with his own fist. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Stop hitting yourself. Liberals champion the poor and the weak, but do so in such condescendingly bureaucratic ways that the ill-edumacated Cleti would rather eat his own shotguns than associate with the likes of them. Famously humorless and dour, probably because for a really good liberal, everything is political, and you just can't joke about things like that.
Defensive and peevish, even when they're right. Under the impression that people in politics should play fair, probably why they get screwed as often as they do. See the presidential election of 2000. Feel guilty about the freedoms their political positions allow them, which is frankly idiotic. Liberals are politically able to have all sorts of freaky mammal sex, but typically don't. Good liberals' foreplay is a permission slip and the three layers of impermeable barriers. The only vaguely liberal person we know of who seemed to enjoy sex in the last 30 years is Clinton, and look what he got out of it.
Fracturous and have no sense of loyalty. Will publicly tear out the intestines of those closest to them at the most politically inopportune times. The attention spans of poultry, easily distracted from large, useful goals by pointless minutiae. Not only can't see the forest for the trees, can't see the trees for the pine needles. deserve every bad things that happens to them because they just can't get their act together. Too bad they presume to stand for. Too bad those they presume to stand for get royally screwed as well. Angela, conservatives.
Conservatives. Hold on here. I'm going to slide it all the way down.
That's what she said.
Be following along.
That's what she said.
She's not following along.
That's what. That's what the girl in the blue dress said to Clinton.
Ooh. Oh my God. How did I? Okay. Conservatives believe in government by the oligarchy. For the oligarchy, which is why the conservative idea of an excellent leader is Ronald Reagan. Example, genial, brain damage, and amenable to manipulation by his more mentally composed underlings. Under the impression they own the copyright on Jesus and get testy when other political factions point out that technically Christ is in the public domain, conservatives don't actually bother to spend time with people who are not conservative and thus become confused and irritable when people disagree with them.
Confused and irritable. That's me.
Fundamentally, can't see how that's even possible, which shows an almost charming intellectual naivete. Less interested in explaining the point of their view than nuking you and everything you stand for into black and cinders before your evil worldview catches on like a virus, conservatives have no volume control on their hate, and yet were shocked as hell when Rush Limbaugh went deaf.
Jim? No, Jeremy.
No.
We're going to break. Finish that when we get back.
Ah, good. Good call.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. Yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Libertarians never got out.
Ah, good. Oh, this is so L. Neil Schulman coming up here. This whole part. My favorite is libertarians blog with a frequency that makes one wonder if they're actually employed somewhere or have loved ones.
Was my Jeff Riggenbach on point, fam?
Yes, you should do it, fam. Okay. Hey, fam. Yeah, do it. Do this in the Jeff voice if you can.
Well, that's a long paragraph. That's going to take like the whole take the whole segment.
Can you do a fast Jeff?
No. I can do it. I can think of any other voice to do.
You could start it.
Libertarians never got over the fact they weren't politically.
Who is that? I like that. Is that squeaky voice?
Kermit.
Oh, right.
Libertarians never got over the fact that they were legitimate children of Robert Heinlein and Ayn Rand.
Yes. That's good. Why don't you do one paragraph? Is like half of it is Kermit and half is Trump.
Frankly, they got never over the fact that illegitimate Robert Heinlein and
you make him
Ayn Rand.
Sound like he has a cold.
I don't even know why we're even talking
you
about
always
that.
Make they're Trump sound like he has a cold. Does he always have a cold?
Frankly,
do Kermit doing Trump or vice versa? Can you do that? No. You know, the guy, one of the guys on Free Talk Live was doing a lot of voices today. I think he's influenced by you because I've never heard him doing it before. And you were on last night, I think. And I think they said something about the Fiends too. So I think, but he was way overdoing it and wasn't doing it as well. So he needs to study you more.
What other voices?
Zero in on stay required.
Jeff Riggenbach. I'll
be back.
Libertarians never got over the fact that they weren't illegitimate children of Robert Heinlein and Ayn Rand, currently pushing the rest of us for it. Unusually smug for a political philosophy that's never gotten anyone elected for anything above the local water board. For all legalized drugs and prostitution, but probably wouldn't want their kids blowing strangers for a crack.
Did you hear me doing all the Austin Peterson quotes into the Jeff Riggenbach voice?
Yes. Those are spectacular.
You didn't hear that, Angela?
No, I mean, that's just beautiful that you did that. I want to know.
Oh, it was so great.
Jump out in seconds. Protect your personal and professional reputation, your business, and your income. Get your free reputation.
Here, let me find it and email it. Right
now. Oh, yeah. I want to know what libertarianism sounds like in Austin's voice.
That's LVMI presents. You should listen to my podcast. It was like the intro to one of them. Just instead of starting the podcast, it just started with that. Let's see. I'm here to tell you about my you never know when there freeze dried watermelon. We should all have local food storage that will carry us through tough times.
I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared.
It's all right, reply to all.
It's a product you can preserve the food your family loves. And the
best part I love that picture. Dumb chicks dig them. Smart guys want to punch them.
I tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freezer at 800-594-4com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Yeah. Mew.
Meow.
I like meow. Jim's meowing.
Meow.
Can I get meow, meow there, meow. Angela and Jeremy?
Meow? Is it? Are we on the meow. Air?
Yeah.
Is there meowing? Oh, meow.
Yes. Meow.
All right, so we're reading I Hate Your Politics, No Matter Who You Are by John Scalzi. Goes through conservatives, liberals, and now we're up to libertarians, and we're going to have...
No, we're not.
We're not? Yeah.
I thought we had one more.
Do we?
Well, no, we actually skipped the first paragraph. We didn't get to the third paragraph.
Oh, conservatives? We didn't get the part about Condi Rice. That part's pretty good. No. Why don't you read that part, Jim, as Trump, and then go right into the next part, and libertarians read it as Kermit the Frog.
Conservatives clueless enough to think that they have Condi Rice and Andrew Sullivan on their team that somehow makes them diversity. I don't even know why we're talking about these people. They're so irrelevant. But pin their thinkers in... like veal in think tanks rather than let them interact with people who might oppose their views like me, frankly. Right? Loathe the women who are not willing to have their opinions safely shackled as their hair. Their hair is terrible, by the way. If you see her hair, it's like plastic on top of her head. Hillary Clinton, it's terrible. Let their...
But yeah, have you seen my daughter? I'd hit it.
I'd hit it. Frankly, she's wonderful. If I wasn't married, I'd be dating her. Let their sons get caught with a dye bag and see how many of these are for zero tolerance. Let a swarthy laborer impregnate one of their daughters to find out how many of them are really pro-life. Wow. And frankly, that's pretty cucked. If you ask me, that's pretty cucked. But frankly, I would not allow that.
That cucks deep. All right, libertarians. Read it as Kermit the Frog, please, Jim.
No, I'm not reading it as Kermit.
Okay. Come on, man. Come on.
That's not going to work.
All right. Who wants to do libertarians? Jeremy, it's your turn.
I butchered this enough already.
Okay. Libertarians never got over the fact that they weren't the illegitimate children of Robert Heinlein and Ayn Rand, currently punishing the rest of us for it. Heinlein, yeah.
Ayn Rand.
And whatever.
You know, she was one of the main influences of Levian Satanism. All right, go on. That's true.
That's all that needs to be said for me.
Look it up.
That's beautiful, man.
Unusually smug for a political philosophy that's never gotten anyone elected for anything above local water board.
Hey, water carries a lot of power, man.
Yeah. All for legalized drugs.
Go ahead.
Prostitution, but probably wouldn't want their kids...
Yeah, there it is. Doing strangers for crack. Yeah.
All for slashing taxes and nearly every local service, but don't seem to understand why most people aren't all keen to trade in even the minimal safety net the U.S. provides for 55-gallon barrels of beans and rice, a crossbow, and a first aid kit in the basement.
Sounds good to me.
Blissfully clueless that libertarianism is just great as long as it doesn't actually involve real live humans.
Ouch.
Yeah.
All right. Libertarians blog with a frequency that makes one wonder if they're actually employed somewhere or if they have loved ones who miss them. I love that. And if you replace, blog with podcast. Yeah, you got it. Jim got it. This is written in 2002. So that, yeah. It's changed lessons. So libertarian blogs are even more snide than conservative blogs, if that's possible. Socially slow. Socially slow. We'll assume other people actually want to talk about legalizing hemp and the benefits of a polyamorous ethos when all these folks really want to do is drink beer and play Grand Theft Auto 3. Grand Theft Auto 3? All right, this is old. Yeah. Wow. What would it be now, Jim? I don't know.
Grand Theft Auto 5.
But there was like a Oculus, couple iterations of
on
threes.
The Oculus.
Yeah.
All right. Libertarianism is the official political system of science fiction authors, which explains why science fiction is in such a rut these days. Libertarians are often polyamorous and hope you are too, but also somewhat out of shape, which takes out a lot, which removes a lot of the fun of it. Yeah.
Right. It's almost like they're talking about the Rebel Love Show, isn't it?
Oh, man. Oh, ouch. Shots fired. All right. Easily offended. Angela? Not that
easily
you're,
offended.
You aren't, but...
Easily offended, libertarians most likely to respond to this column. The author will attempt to engage subtle wit, but will actually come across as a geeky whiner. Conservatives, more schooled in the art of poisonous replies, may actually achieve wit. Liberals will reply that they don't find any of this humorous at all. Libertarians secretly worry that ultimately someone will figure out this whole of their political philosophy boils down to get off my property. Newsflash, this is not a big secret to the rest of us.
I'm guessing you thought I was way off on your political philosophy, but right on the button about the other two. Just think about that for a while. I like this thing.
And he's saying that broadly. It's not like he's just explicitly like, oh, just liberals.
Yeah, all of y'all.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Man, they're actually talking to everybody in that line.
Yeah.
Oh, it cuts so deep.
I kind of am very slightly offended by a few of the things he said about libertarians, and agree with everything he said about conservatives and liberals. So there, it worked.
Get off my lawn.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. My fellow sheep.
So did you get a chance to watch that video or listen to that video yet?
Are you one of the 1% of Americans who still approves of our government?
I just checked your email. The Austin Peterson video.
All right.
You probably have enough time to listen to the whole thing. Oh, you do.
If someone could email me the Mises anime, because I can't seem to find it on the internet. Oh. Or maybe because I'm high. Wait, are we on the air? No.
No.
Yes.
Is this Jim, this is not radio friendly, I'm guessing. The Austin.
No. Don't play it. No.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
The anime is, but all you're going to play is music, and that's. Yeah. All right, sending the anime now.
Hey, what's the next topic? Do we have one?
No.
No? All right, let's just have them play jazz music for 40 minutes.
I can show it. I'm going to open up one of the other computers here.
What? You're cutting in and out.
You're cutting out.
I got to go fix
who,
that.
Who, me?
On the TV viewer. Oh.
Can we come in with some classical music?
I'd rather have a topic.
We don't need topics. Where we're going, we don't need topics.
Man.
The state already built all the topics.
Well, I the one article that you sent out, Michael, about the non-compete stuff, I can talk about that because I had that happen to me.
About to which stupid thing?
I don't know. Didn't you send the article about the non-compete clauses they're trying to get rid
of? Yeah. About the, what was it? Then they talk about ad hoc unions, which sounds like a good idea to me if you're going to have unions.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Las Vegas is best city. So, Angela, are you going to come to Hans Herman Hoppe's sobrital removal service at Freedom Fest?
So, when is the removal?
It's after all the speeches. It's like 8 o'clock at night on Friday. Yeah. But it's way off strip. You got to take a cab there.
Okay.
But it's worth it. They got craft beer and an awesome kitchen. Awesome. Use the coupon code radio 15. And I'm going to try to get as many people as I can to, like, because it's nice to get away from the strip and all the touristy stuff for a moment.
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, we're not. We're not back. Oh, wait. Are we back?
This is the Freedom Fiends. The only noir political radio show. And noir, I'm reading the definition. It's a genre of crime film or fiction or radio show characterized by cynicism, fatalism, and moral ambiguity. And speaking of moral ambiguity, Angela, do you want to...
That's great. That's terrific.
Who wants to read this article? Jeremy. Some of it.
Oh, okay. Well, the article about... Why are you telling me what to do? The one about non-compete clauses and PACs and stuff like that. Is that what we're talking about? So there was an article. What is this in? It's in the New York Times. I should know this. Actually, I shouldn't. I don't read that garbage. but it talks about the different...
Krugman.
Oh, yes. He's my hero. it refers to some of the different, I guess, states, the mini states within the United States, are trying to get rid of the...
They're so square.
They're trying to get rid of the non-compete pacts that a lot of corporations and different companies use with their employees, and they make you sign them when you originally take employment with them. So even after you leave, there's a lot of situations where you can't even take a job in the same field, not even just for a competitor, but just they've taken it to such extremes where they keep people out of work. Because they don't want their trade secrets or you know, whatever the person could possibly hold in their head getting out to anybody else. I personally,
so square.
Yeah, exactly. I actually had to deal with this before I started my company. I worked for another pet sitting company, and they made me sign a non-compete clause when I started with them, and I didn't think of it at the time. I mean, this was 12 plus years ago, and I was definitely not as informed as I am now. So I signed it without thinking about it. And then even though I told them at the time that my plan was to start my own company at some point, they didn't seem to care. They were just like, oh, just sign this. And I said, okay, not thinking of it. But it turns out later on that they had tried to load it with so much language that my lawyer took one look at it and said, this will get laughed at a court because some of these things people just try to push for because they just assume that they'll get in trouble, so they don't do anything. They either don't read it or the person threatens them, which is what these people that I worked for did, because after I left, and they were totally dishonest about their practices. And I think I've talked about this on the show before, but there was a whole big, deal that they violated every term of whatever contract we ever had to begin with, but they kept trying to press it. But it turns out that they tried too hard. But what they were trying to do, where did I find it? There was actually a point in this article where it talks about that this one guy in particular was... had signed an no-compete clause, and because of it, he ended up not being able to find work for 2 years. And people like him often get sued by their former employers, just as a preemptive strike, in case they're going to try to jump ship and go to another company. And the quote in here is that the one lawyer said it's not about the actual lawsuit, but it's the far larger chilling effect, which essentially means they're trying to scare off everybody else in the future to say, yeah, you don't want to do this. You don't want to mess with us. You sign this, you can't go to this other company. But, you know, like I said, the problem with this is that it ends up limiting people's employment options.
They also, historically, it's always been, like a lot of times in the tech industry or for like high level CEO type jobs, things that pay millions of dollars a year. But basically through boilerplates, it's boiled down to like there are people making $8 an hour making sandwiches that have even if they get fired or laid off, can't go get a job anywhere making sandwiches.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. They've taken it to such an extreme. Well, that was me. I was getting $10 or $9 for a half an hour walk, but still for a dog walk, but still I was supposed to abide by the terms of this contract. And I mean, for somebody like me now, who is completely anti-copyright and IP and all these ideas, it just seems so ridiculous to me.
Well, this is different than IP because this is not government enforcement and people voluntarily sign it. However, I think you could blame the government anyway. I can always find a way to. And the way here is like, I just think the economy is so wrecked that people have to take jobs with things like this in the contract.
Oh, sure. It's there. People are not really coerced, but almost, because they're not given many options. And exactly, they're in a position where they can't really say no. But I know it's not the same as IP, but what I meant is it's on those principles. That's why people are doing it. That's why, like you said, that's why the tech companies started doing it at first, because they were trying to protect the ideas they had so their competitor didn't get it and steal it from them and make the money first.
Although Silicon Valley, part of the reason it is such an engine of commerce is that California has a law that goes back like 100 years that mostly prevents non-compete clauses, you know? So Silicon Valley is, even though a lot of it's based on IP, other than that, a lot of the economy and the economic aspects of it, it's kind of a libertarian paradise in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, it's technology is still the... Of all the ridiculous regulations that the USSA government puts out, the technological industry is still the least regulated.
Well, that's because lawmakers are too stupid to understand it, and by the time they try to outlaw something, it's way too late. There's a couple things they've tried to outlaw that it's really good they didn't get away with. One was putting a 3-cent tax on every email. That was tried in like 91 or 92. When nobody in Congress had email, but they tried to pass that because they didn't want it competing with the post office. And then another one was Joe Biden, Steve Miller's love interest there in Delaware. I think Steve meets him on the train for illicit sex. Joe Biden actually tried to get a bill passed, I think around 1990, like before the internet was really anything. Tried to outlaw encryption, and they're trying to do that now, but it's the cow's out of the barn. They can't really do it. Like encryption's in everything now, you know. So
good luck.
Yeah, good luck with that. Square old people, and you know, like young people today and liberals would say, "Yeah, those square old rich old white men." But no, there's diversity, man. The man is now often a woman, like Hillary Clinton. She kills as many brown people as, you know, old white men and more. Like, she's killing more brown people than Joe Biden, for sure. Right, Angela?
If she hasn't, she soon will.
Oh, but she's been the Secretary of State. Didn't you say on the last time you were on the show that it's her fault all these people are leaving their country to become immigrants?
I might have, but I mean, it's plenty of other people probably said that too. I mean, she's a disaster. She's a train wreck. We know what her policies are.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be horrible. But, you know, there's nothing funny about having sex with Joe Biden.
Yeah, there really isn't. I hope Trump wins, and here's why. It'll be funny. We're kind of comedians. It'll be better material than Hillary. Although he'll probably try to outlaw using him for material and laughing at him. But, you know, if you want to put on your... Go ahead, Jim.
I was going to say they'll shut down the part of the internet where the fiends reside. So,
yeah, the .com region of it. Yeah, he'll help commerce by shutting down the .com part of the internet. You'll have to be a .gov or a .org. You'll need a license from the government to have a website.
.China.
.China. Yeah. But here's why I hope. If you put on your ultra minarchist hat, I think if actually I hope Hillary's president, and that sounds like heresy, but it's like Trump and Hillary will do identical things as president, but Hillary will get blocked by some of the Republicans, whereas Trump, they'll just throw open their legs and, you know, think of Queens and say, yes, Trump, take me, pollute me with your loveliness.
Oh, you know, not the visuals I need this late.
Are you fanning yourself and going, oh? That's what it sounded like, Jeremy.
Ooh.
No, no. Ooh. I'm getting sick, actually. No.
I'm getting sick, too, and I've got a weasel up my bum.
Whoa.
I'm kidding. So I used to have a T-shirt when I was playing in a rock band. Someone gave me a T-shirt that I wore a lot until it fell apart on my stinky body. And the T-shirt said, my then stinky body. And my T-shirt said, so many gerbils, so little time. That was around the time of the Richard Gere rumors. So there's something in this article about non-compete clauses that I kind of like. And they talk about pop-up unions, like pop-up labor unions. I've never heard this concept. Have any of you?
No.
At least not the term.
No. Pop-up parties in restaurants, of course. But pop-up means like, you know, ad hoc, like created for one thing. And people should read my book, A User's Manual for the Human Experience, because I basically take the 12 traditions of AA and apply them to starting ad hoc organizations that can exist and then go away. And Jim may hate AA as a recovery methodology, but the traditions of it are pretty sound. They're a really forward-thinking 1935 vision or 1950 vision of like how to do things, you know, under like a BIPCOT license, more or less. That's kind of what AA is.
A User's Manual for the Human Experience, written and prepared by Michael W. Dean.
Read by Jeff Riggenbach.
Read by Jeff Riggenbach and distributed by the Ludwig von Mises Institute.
No, actually, I read the audiobook and it's free. It's from michaelwdean.com, but I'll link it. So this idea of a pop-up union that exists for a single issue and then dissolves after they get their way, I kind of like that, except I worry it would be like the Free State Project. Like the Free State Project technically was one of these. It wasn't a union, but it was an organization that existed to obtain a goal. And the goal was to get 20,000 liberty-minded people to sign up to move to New Hampshire. And now it's happening. They're still around and people have like six-figure salaries. But I don't know. You guys can't talk about it. I would ask you all if you have non-compete clauses, but I assume you also have NDAs, non-disclosure agreements, and can't talk about it. Is that correct?
Yes.
We do what? for the Lulberts, by the way.
Yeah,
you
tell
can't
me about
compete with the Lulberts. Once you sign up for the Lulberts and once you're a co-host, that's it. You're done. There's no more. If you're whatever you're in and you can't disclose anything.
Yeah, but everyone on there is also in the Fiends or well, some of them are, aren't they?
Yeah, so it kind of nullifies itself, I guess. So But it gives me an aura of legitimacy, I guess, or of illegitimacy.
You know, I'm not against the idea of labor unions. I'm just against the idea of labor unions that are backed by government guns. But I guess it makes sense because what they were fighting when they started was literal guns being used against them. Like, you know, the Pinkertons machine gunning protesters asking for, you know, a 10-minute toilet break every 14 hours of work or something. So, yeah, that's what you get, the man.
Redemption when we get back from the market.
If there is any. I think we're morally ambiguous. Michael Dean and his Angela is.
Tasing Part you with 1. 2011.
Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Wow.
The central
Part 1. Life. Chapter 1. Greetings, eager seeker. What to expect? Greetings, eager seeker.
It sounds like a voice, text-to-voiced reading my book. A machine.
A User's Manual for the Human Existence teaches recovery without meetings and making your mark in the world. This book will teach you how to cut the dead wood of your life. By the way, we need to start a union, a Freedom Fiends Union, and we need to agitate for no more talking about Hubert Selby Jr.'s cane anymore and polyps. No more polyps.
Oh, thank God.
To me, all of these are not distinct elements requiring separate books or methods. They are all essential components of one synergistic and beautiful thing. We, my wife and I, call it life amplification. Do you want me to re-record your audiobook? It's Jeff Riggenbach. So I just got an email from Total Rewards, which is Caesar's group, you know, Caesar's Palace, Planet Hollywood. It said rooms from $38, and it's slashed out $30 a night, and it says hot rate. And there's like a couple. There's like a couple behind it. Like they kind of look like they're behind like a steamy mirror drinking champagne. Mm-hmm. And when I first read it, I thought it said hot rape.
Oh, God.
I was like, what are you doing? It looks like they're behind a steamy window and someone like wrote in the steam with their finger, hot rate. But it looked like hot rape. It doesn't look right. Did you ever watch the Billy the Mime video I sent you?
I don't think I got around to it.
I'm telling you, it's the funniest thing ever.
I will watch
yeah, Penn Jillette says go see it. It's like one of the best shows you'll ever see. But when you bring people, don't tell them you're seeing a mime show. just say, hey, we're going to go see a show. Trust me, it's funny. it's almost like a satirical take on mimes. It's making fun of mimes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like they did one of Jerry Sandusky story.
Oh, God.
And he mimes the whole story. Yeah, it's bad. It's hilarious. The Princess Diana one was just the Michael Jackson one. He does the Aristocrats joke in mime.
Oh, God. Is he in that movie?
Yeah, he's in the movie.
I didn't really like that movie.
It's because you didn't understand, because you didn't know about the joke.
I was actually at the editor's house while he was editing it, which is kind of boring. It was, you know, I saw some files on a computer, but yeah. Yeah, my girlfriend was banging that guy, and she took me over to meet him.
Billy the Mime?
No, the editor of the Aristocrats movie.
Was he wearing the makeup when they were doing it?
No. No.
Was he miming the sex?
The editor. It's funny.
I have so many questions.
Stephen Banks. That guy?
Is that his real name?
Well, is he in Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, doing voices in SpongeBob SquarePants?
No.
That's what Billy the Mime goes to on Wikipedia.
Oh, he does?
Maybe it is him. And if untreated, could
lead to blindness. Oh, no, I thought you were talking about the other guy that does, the actual guy that does the voice for SpongeBob. It's him and his wife. They always do like stuff together. Yeah. They did Mr. Show together. Yeah.
No,
this is a different guy. No, it's not him. It's a different guy. Who does he do the voice for?
I don't know. We're in the air.
Interdasting. So I think we decided that we're going to start a Freedom Fiends union, and we're going to agitate for certain
more
things.
Buttons.
I think we already, yeah, we're definitely more buttons. We're definitely sensing a lack of buttons, and they need to be bigger. They need to be even bigger. They need to be at least like two and a half.
Well, I know what's going to happen if I say no. I was told last night that you guys are going to quit and start a competing show called the Three Dumb Fiends. .com.
I think I kind of already did that with the Lulberts, I guess.
Hey, I'm eating the best ice cream in the world. I'm going to do a free ad for them. It's called Talente Gelato Sicilian Pistachio. Check it out, people.
Gelato's not ice cream.
Yeah, I was going to say that's not ice cream.
I think the company is just gelato. This doesn't taste like gelato. It's just pistachio.
Pistachio is kind of a gelato-y flavor, though, isn't it?
Angela, you're so cute in that picture of you in your 70s pants at Porkfest. I think there should be action figures of you, and you should be on lunch boxes.
which I haven't seen any
up on
pictures.
The mic. You're on radio, remember?
Oh, I haven't seen any of the pictures.
There you go. Well, you know what you look like in your pants, in your star pants.
Oh, the American ones.
Yes.
Merca.
I think we should definitely agitate for more star pants as well. I think that should be in the thing. And no more Silbert Junior Hubie. Cane stories. And what was the other thing? Oh, yeah. No more stories about polyps.
I haven't done polyps since I fired James Babb over it.
Ooh, was it?
He's a bad man. He's probably fun to have a gelato beer with, but I wouldn't.
Gelato
beer? I wouldn't recommend
him. That just does not sound good at all.
He's mean.
Well, he's great on the Wahlbergs, though.
Yeah. Well, you know.
I like him.
Yeah. So you say. All right. So moving right along.
Yeah, and we should definitely agitate for more Bill Buebert too. This is unacceptable.
I'm negotiating that one.
He's a busy man.
He's not completely opposed to the idea of coming back on the Fiends, but he's busy, man, and he's often in Afghanistan.
Yeah, and more Davi, but less cussing, but more Davi.
Dobby's got to talk to me before I'll put him up, before anyone should put him on Fiends.
Okay.
Nobody has cussed on this show in 3 years and had to go out. He did. So, yeah.
No,
Dobby,
I'm gonna go over this again.
What about He Who Cannot Be Named?
That got cut. That got cut by the board op hitting the cuss dump. He Who Cannot Be Named. It's on the recording because I was recording from my end. But MK said half a cuss word. I said half a cuss word later. And the guy from Death Clock, Metal Apocalypse, Brandon Small, cussed, but the board op hit it because he thought we were on internet radio, not radio. Because he's like, nobody does radio.
And I almost did when I first got interviewed, which somehow I survived.
Your audio was so bad. No one could understand what you were saying. It didn't matter. It was a built-in cuss dump.
I thought you were true shives. Yeah, I didn't cuss. I didn't cuss, but then they were like, "You do know we're on actual radio, right?" I was like, "Oh, what? I don't know what the Fiends are."
Yeah, that's what the guy from Death Clock said too. Oh, because he does like 10 internet radio interviews a day. You know,
When he had
a new movie coming out, he did. It's interdasting. You say
interdasting.
So Angela, we got a couple minutes here. Drop some mad science about what's wrong with governments and war.
What's wrong with governments and war? What's right with governments and war? Are there anything right? Have they given us anything? No, it's a disaster. It's a horrible, horrible situation. Yep. All of it.
Yep.
Everything. It's terrible, and it's worse than you think at all times.
Yep.
I like that.
Kill
the poor.
Yeah.
Do you know that song charted in Chile when it came out?
It makes sense.
Dead Kennedys were convinced the government was behind it, too, in Chile. That was under Pinochet, wasn't it?
I wonder if they use that as a list. Like, okay, now we have the list of all the commies. Rev up them helicopters.
Yeah.
Is that too soon?
Pol Pot. No Pol Pot jokes. It's too soon. Angela was born in the 70s. Remember Pol Pot?
Yes, Gramps.
Okay, Mishy. I'm well older than Angela.
Pot.
I learned who Pol Pot was from the Dead Kennedys.
So did I.
Worms.
Worms.
Oh, worms, more worms.
Worms. Worms. More worms, please. Yeah.
I love that song.
Freedom Fiends down. You know, there's a download. I put a download of it. Oh, that song. Yeah. I have that too if you want it. That's it's a loop of, you know what that is? It's a loop of the song that used to play in the 70s in movie theaters before the movie started.
Yeah, maybe. Quentin Tarantino like throws in his little intros to his movies
that's
too.
That's why. Yep. With like psychedelic swirls around it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. When I saw Jaws when it came out in the movie theater, that played before it. And same with Star Wars.
That's how old I am. I remember, but like they just basically still used it. They never updated it. The let's go out to the lobby. Let's go out to the lobby.
That's from like the 40s,
let's go out.
Man.
They used to do that. They used to do that in the at the drive-in because they didn't care. They're like, we'll still use it. I don't care if it's from the 40s. Yeah,
get ourselves a snack. Yep. All right. Good show, y'all.
Good show, y'all.
Ouch.
What? Did we harm you?
Show
me on the Angela doll where we harmed you.
In the gut.
Smoke more weed and order those books I sent you.
Okay. All right.
And drop
watch
acid.
Some anime now. All right.
I don't know what that is, and I don't think I want to know.
Yeah. Oh, I got some business cards printed out for the Hans Hermann Hoppe thing, so I'll drop you some if you want to pass them out. It's to cool
great.
People only, though.
Okay.
Don't be going around giving them
only attractive people.
Yeah. David Friedman counts. He's very attractive. He's got that Danny DeVito thing going.
Yeah.
Sexy.
He's like 4'8", 4'9".
Yeah, I can
tower
just imagine
above
him.
That.
Yeah.
5'5".
I could do a killer David Friedman impression too.
Jeremy still there?
Yes.
Is the board op still there?
No. Who? Killed him.
Oh. I wanted to thank. Oh, go ahead. Thank you. Oh.
Thank you, Patrick.
So, yep. The new config file zipped has been sent to you. It's the last email from Brian Gordon.
Yes.
Unzip that and drop it in and have it overwrite the existing config file on Fiendbot 4000 for next time, please. You're on tomorrow, too, aren't you, Jeremy?
No, tomorrow.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, someone bought a Libertarians Against Humanity t-shirt.
I am what? No, I'm off tomorrow.
Oh, okay. You've been on three nights in a row, though, right? Jeremy. Oh, yeah, you're not on tomorrow. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go edit, y'all. Have a good night. What?
Good night.
You're not on tomorrow, Jeremy.
No, I know. All right, what do I have to do with this thing?
Let's go to Skype. Our username is lrn.fm on Skype, and you'll hear the sound difference. Michael W. Dean is on Skype. And,
ooh.
Yeah, but he sounds pretty good.
From Porkfest?
Nah, I'm not at Porkfest. I couldn't make it. I was too sick to go. But do you guys know who the rocker Gigi Allen was?
That's a negative here. Tell us about him.
Okay, I know who he is. I just want to...
Yeah, he... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, he's... Gigi Allen is a... I would call him punk rock because I would... Where I would have heard of him from, but he was sort of noted for his extreme drug use and...
He looks like American History X.
Just doing horrifying things on stage, cutting himself and yucky stuff.
Huh. He had a really small penis, too. He liked to get naked and he had no shame about, like... I mean, he had a peanut down there, but he liked to take his audience for a rough ride and, you know, beat up his crowd. And, but, you know, it was voluntary. There's exit doors at rock concerts. And right. I actually really liked his music and liked him sort of.
He's legendary. So
he's legendary.
What was it about his music? I didn't think that it was, I didn't think it was impressive in any way.
Some of the earlier records that are kind of anthemic. There's some good tunes.
Okay.
You know, it's good punk rock and roll done well.
All right.
In the studio, but then live, they rarely finished three songs before, you know,
it's a riot.
The club took the mics, turned it off, or the police showed up, or, you know, he ended up in jail or the hospital a lot. He liked to bring the sepsis back to rock and roll. You know, he cut himself and then poo on the stage and then jump in the poo. And he died of a heroin overdose. He said he's going to kill himself on stage, but he kind of wimped out and accidentally died of a heroin overdose. And he was born in Lancaster, New Hampshire where Porkfest is, at the Weeks Memorial Hospital, which is where you'll go if you get seriously injured and free aid can't help you at Porkfest.
That's true.
And, and I call it the James Weeks III Memorial Hospital. I think it should be renamed because there's a little bit of Gigi Allen in James Weeks. He brought some sepsis, I think, to the Libertarian Party, and they needed it. But so Gigi Allen's grave is nearby in Littleton, New Hampshire, and it's kind of become like a rock and roll mecca, like Jim Morrison's grave was, but with more pee-pee and poo-poo.
And blood.
Yeah.
And blood. Yeah, like the people, if you search Gigi Allen's grave on Google Images, there's tons of pictures of people relieving themselves on his grave. So the Catholic priest who owns the cemetery, which cemeteries are a kind of weird quasi-public private land, like, you know.
Right.
If they were private land, they wouldn't pass laws to keep people from, you know, protesting dead gay soldiers or whatever it is. You know, so they're kind of weird public property thing. So the priest removed his headstone so people couldn't find his grave, but they left the like base and then they removed the base. So
people couldn't find it at all.
Jeez. I had Derek J and some other fiends go there the other day, hold up a Bipcot flag on the grass where the grave used to be. We found it. We Bipcotted it and we got the exact GPS coordinates.
Yes.
And the way we did it was we had Derek J set up a cell 411 private cell with me and then sent me a video that says I'm being bullied at Gigi Allen's grave. And of course I wrote back and said, yes, I'll be there to help in 2.5 days or whatever. So we got the GPS coordinates. So I made this Android app called Find Gigi Allen's Grave. And it gives you step by step, like it will guide you to his grave and show you the exact site. It's on the Google Play Store and the Amazon Store and the Freedom Fiends blog. So
does it spit out like coupons for toilet paper?
No, but, you know, it shows nearby businesses. It's done through Google Maps, you know, and it reads out the directions. The police station in that town is right up the road, too. So
you just made this groundskeeper's day.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, man.
Sons Absolutely. Of guns, they found him again. I'm envisioning groundskeeper Willie from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
The poor Scottish man out there. Yeah. He's having to clean poo up every day.
He'll kill you.
I'm not. I don't want people to go poo on it, but I don't want it to be hidden. I think for historic value, you know, we needed to have the Find G.G. Allen's Grave app for free. I think it'll become more popular than Angry Birds. It kind of sounds like the name of a game. Find G.G.
It does, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for all your hard work on this, Michael W.
Yes, indeed.
I do what I can.
What do you do when you don't go to Porkfest? I just stay at home and create nonsense like apps.
Havoc.
Yes.
Gigi would be proud. Michael W. Dean from.
I hate it. I think Gigi would hate the internet. It was. He died in 93. There was barely an internet.
Yeah, that was early days. Early days. Yeah.
He wouldn't like
it. Michael W. Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You can find him on freedomfiends.com?
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Worms.
Oops.
Oh, it cut his worms off. Yeah. Worms.
So, what Freedom Fiends is basically the only other radio program out there that takes a hard line liberty look at the issues. Free Talk Live, I'd say, runs sort of a more mainline show than they do, but they've got some good hosts over there, and it can be very entertaining to listen to.
Oh, yeah.
So, let's go to Sarah calling in from New Mexico. Well,